ಕುಂಜ ಬಿಹಾರಿ ಗೋಪೀ ಜನ ವಲ್ಲಭ ಗಿರಿವರಧಾರಿ
To say to Divyanga Prabhu that just like when he gave class, his sons came, and so today I want to thank my children that came, and that is Shyama Sundari and Namamita. Where's Namamita gone? Oh, okay. So I want to thank them. There he is. they told me they will specifically come for my class, so thank you. So today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 11th Canto, chapter 20, verse number 17.
Nirdeham adyam sulabham sudurlabham. Plavam sukalpam guru karnadharam. Mayanukulena nabhasvateritam Puman bhavabhim nataretsa atmaha Nirdeham adyam sulabham sudurlabham Plavam sukalpam guru karnadharam Mayanukulena nabhasvateritam Puman Bhavadhim Nataretsa Atmaha.
Please chant.
Nideha Madhyam Sulabham Sudurlabham. Lavam Sukalpam. Sukalpam Guru Karnadharam Mayanukulena Nabhasvate Ritam Puman Bhavadhinna Taresa Atmaha. Nideha Madhyam Sulabham Sudurlabham Slavam Sukalpam Guru Karnadharam Mayanukulena Nabhasvate Ritam Puman Bhavadhinna Taresa Atmaha. Nideha Madhyam Sulabham Sudurlabham Sukalpam Guru Karnadharam
Mayanukulena
Nabhasvate Ritam
Puman
Bhavadhinna Taresa Atmaha.
Thank you. Translation. The human body which can award all benefit in life is automatically obtained by the laws of nature, although it is a very rare achievement. This human body can be compared to a perfectly constructed boat having the spiritual master as the captain and the instructions of the personality of Godhead as favorable winds impelling it on its course. Considering all these advantages, a human being who does not utilize his human life to cross the ocean of material existence must be considered the killer of his own soul. Is it not loud enough? The human body which is obtained after passing through many inferior forms is created in such a way that it can award the highest perfection of life. A human being is supposed to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the bona fide spiritual master. And the bona fide spiritual master is the appropriate guide for such service. The causeless mercy of Lord Krishna is compared to favorable winds that help the boat of the body to ply smoothly on the course back home, back to Godhead. Lord Krishna gives his personal instructions in Vedic literature, speaks through the bona fide spiritual master, and encourages, warns and protects his sincere devotee from within the devotee's heart. Such merciful guidance of the Lord moves a sincere soul quickly on the path back to Godhead. But one who cannot understand that the human body is a suitable boat for crossing the ocean of material existence will see no need to accept a captain in the form of the spiritual master and will not at all appreciate the favorable winds of the Lord's mercy. He has no chance of achieving the goal of human life. Acting against his own self-interest, he gradually becomes the killer of his own soul. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutaleshimati Bhaktivedanta Swami Tanani Namaste Sarasvati Devi Gauravani Pacharini Nibhise Shishunivani Paschati Adeshita. So we see this morning, in this verse, Krishna is saying, Sulabham, Sudurlabham. Sulabham means very easy. And sudurlabham means very difficult. That's how Krishna speaks. He's I like this part of the Bhagavad Gita, of Bhagavatam here, because Krishna is directly speaking, just like in Bhagavad Gita. So you get to know a person by how they speak. So it's nice how he's speaking to his dear devotee Uddhava. He speaks in paradoxes. Sulabham, sudurlabham. Very easy and very difficult. Why is it easy? It's describes here, the devotees have translated automatically. It's automatically achieved. Just like a child, when he's born, automatically he becomes an adult. Does he have to do anything to become an adult? Abhaya, did you do anything to become an adult?
Stay alive.
Stay alive, yeah? You don't have to do anything. You just become an adult by doing nothing. And that's why it says, it's sulabham. It's automatically. Similarly, the living entity, they enter as aquatics, and they go from plant to trees and other animals, four-legged animals, and then two. It's automatic. They don't have to do anything. Nothing is done. They just go from one living entity to another and then become a human. So in that sense, it's easy. It's automatic. But then it says durlabham. Not durlabham, but sudurlabham. Sudurlabham. Why is it so difficult? Well, ask a child. When it's a little kid, ask them, how long is it before you become an adult? And what do they think? And they think it's like, it's not 8 million births, but they think it's eternity. Eternity, then when I become an adult. When will I become an adult? It's like forever. They can never see what it is. So it's sudurlabham. It's very difficult. 8 million species of life. It's a long time. It's a long, long, long time. So it's sudurlabham. And what happens, unfortunately, when a child does become an adult, he's waiting for that time to become an adult, then unfortunately, most of the time is wasted. Except for Ananta and Abhaya, they didn't waste their time when they became an adult. But it goes in partying or whatever. There are all kinds of things that people do. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he describes in his song, actually yesterday, Mother Kosha Rupa, she gave the translation of that. She read the whole translation of that song, Udilo Aruna. So in that song, describes, Miche nira bashe gelore rati divasa sharira saje. Miche, uselessly. They're uselessly spending their time sleeping and decorating their body. I mean, decorating the body just doesn't mean putting ornaments, but you decorate your body mentally, emotionally, intellectually. You're decorating your body with all kinds of things that are useless. And then he also says in the next verse, he says, Emana durlabha manavadeho payaki koro bhavana keho. Emana durlabha. Again, the word durlabha used. He says it's so difficult to attain this manava deha, this human body. But then he says, bhavana keho. No, kikara. First he says, kikara. What are you doing? And then he says, bhava ki keho. Are you not thinking? Are you not thinking? You have this human body. Have you lost your mind? Are you not thinking that you have this human body? So this is Bhaktivinoda Thakur is saying that this body is very difficult to obtain, and we have to engage it properly. Here, Krishna uses the word, he uses a very hard word here, atmaha, as the one who is not using this human form of body to cross the ocean of material existence, he uses the word Atmaha, the killer of the soul. Now, do remember in Bhagavad Gita, what does he say in the second chapter about the soul being what? It's indestructible. It cannot be killed. And now he's saying, you become a killer of the soul. So you can imagine that what, how Krishna feels about if we don't use this human form of body to cross this ocean of material existence. Actually, Parikshit Maharaj in the 10th canto, after he heard all the 9th canto, he's ready to hear Krishna's pastimes directly, and he's encouraging Sukadeva Goswami to tell him about Krishna's pastimes. And he uses the same word, actually. He uses the word Parshughnat to describe people for not using that. But he uses the word Parshughnat, which basically means Atmaha, killer of the living entity. Pashu is also living entity. Prabhupada translates as a butcher and killer of the soul. So he actually, in that verse, which is a very common verse, Nivritte tarshe rupagiya manas bhava shodha chotra mano bhiramat ka uttama shloka gunanu vada puman virajeta vina pashu ganat. He says, ka puman, what living entity virajeta, what living entity will remain aloof from the descriptions of Lord Krishna? It only has to be one who is a butcher or a killer of the soul. Now, if you really think about it, Maharaj Parikshit was talking to, he wasn't talking to a materialist. He was in the assembly that he was sitting in when he was talking to, hearing from Shukadeva Goswami, and he expressed this. All the great sages were assembled in there. They're all transcendentalists. Chaivana Muni or, you know, Parashara Muni, Gautama Muni, Vashishta, Vishwamitra, all these great sages. And he's saying such a verse, such a heavy word he's saying, but these munis, these transcendentalists, they were not necessarily all bhakti yogis. They were transcendent. They were like PhD spiritualists, you know, transcendent. Those, they're munis. So they're PhD people. They do their research and everything, but on the transcendental realm. So he's saying that he's encouraging them to hear, although they came specifically to hear Shukadeva Goswami, but again he's bringing up the point that we need to hear the pastimes of Lord Krishna, and if we are not attracted to it, then we are killer of the soul. Now, we're sitting down here in this Bhagavatam class, and they're all here are transcendentalists or aspiring transcendentalists. So this is for us to, it's also for us to think about that, how many times that, I can at least speak for myself, how many times I rather hear something else than hearing Bhagavatam Katha. There's so much to hear, so much. You can just look on the internet and wow, Trump news, so attractive. What is he doing now, you know? How is he making himself a fool? I mean, it's so much more inviting than to hear Bhagavatam class sometimes, you know. That's just how our mind is. At least I can speak for myself. So it is so important that we have to not be satisfied, oh, we have a human body. Yes, we have a human body, and sure, we will get a human body in our next life. That is for sure. And for sure, all of us had a human body in our previous life too. Satchinanda Maharaj tells about his realization that first time when his father saw him bowing down to a tulsi plant, his father said, "Son, you never bow down to anybody or to your father. Now you're bowing down to a plant? Come on, collect your sanity, son." And so Satchinanda Maharaj said, no, father, this is Tulsi Devi. She's a pure devotee. She gives Krishna prema." And then later on, He was thinking, you know, for us Westerners to bow to a tulsi plant, to a plant, that's very strange. His realization was definitely, if we can do that, we definitely were devotees in our past life, or we were, you know, this was not their first birth to be able to do so. So sure enough, our next life, our goal is not just to have a human body. The fact we have a human body, we will get a human body. Trayate mahato bhayate. The Krishna always has already said that if we don't finish our spiritual life, we will get a human body, not to fear. But I think we have to go beyond that and think that how we really have to look into how we can actually progress in our spiritual life, or how we can finish our spiritual progress to our goal in this life. Bilwa Mangal Thakur, he was an ascetic. Apparently he was a great ascetic in his previous life, but he fell down because of some sensual desires. And we know his life, that in his next life he took birth in a family of spiritualists. But because of his sensual desires from his previous life, he again fell into the same pit or well. And we know the story that how he went to the prostitute, and his spiritual master, through the prostitute, Somagri told him that, what are you doing? If you're so attached to the prostitute, you should actually, if you had that attachment towards Krishna, then you will, you know, then you'll be successful. So he heard that, and he was determined that he was going to do that, and he did. He headed towards Vrindavan. But then while he was heading towards Vrindavan, what happened? The same desire came. He saw a Brahmin's wife, and he saw what happened. So he realized that he needs to do something, and he plucked his eyes. Maybe we don't need to pluck our eyes, but we do need to, let's say, pluck our desires that's stopping us from moving ahead in our spiritual life, so that we can go to the next step. The thing is that we're so fortunate that we have, like Krishna is saying to Uddhava, that you need a spiritual master and you need the favorable winds of Krishna. He will give that, and you have a navigator. So we have Srila Prabhupada as a navigator. Srila Prabhupada has given us all the unlimited predecessors who are guiding us. We're called Rupanugas. Why are we called Rupanugas? Because Rupa Goswami has set the example of what we have to follow. So we have the example, we have our navigator. Srinivas Thakur, actually whose appearance day was a couple of days ago. I just happened to walk in and Pran Govinda was saying something about Srinivas Acharya, and I didn't realize it was his appearance day on Sunday, I think. But he says in the Shat Goswami's prayers, he says about the Goswamis, Nidra hara vihara. They were able to conquer sleep, eating, and recreation. How did they do that? They set the example. Sankhya purvaka nama gana nati bhi kalavasana pita. Sankhya, by sankhya means counting. Sankhya nama gana nati bhi. It wasn't a sentiment thing, do it when you want to. No. A process. Sankhya. By chanting certain number of rounds, they would even count the number of times they would pay obeisances. This is how our navigators are showing us that this is how we can cross this material ocean, this vast material ocean, that we can actually pass that or cross that. Srinivas Acharya himself was actually, one place I read that he used to read, he would chant 3 hours on his own, on his base, and then he would read for 3 hours, and they would discuss philosophy and teachings, and for a couple hours he would give that. Then he would worship his Shalagram Shila, and Water Tulsi Devi specifically was mentioned that. So Srinivas has taught us how to do that. I mean, all our acharyas are showing, Srila Prabhupada has shown us how to lead our lives so that we can cross this ocean of material existence. I think our goal of life, as I mentioned, is not just to have a human body, but actually by following these acharyas, to actually continuously hear and chant. I was thinking, actually, continuously hearing and chant, our heart should be like Shiva Sangam. In Shiva Sangam, there was always hearing and chanting going on. Although externally we may have to do so many things, you know, externally we may have to go do a job, you know, be a pilot, or you know, do our work out of the house, or be a lawyer, a doctor, whatever it may be. But our heart should be like Shiva Sangam. And I like to tell you a little story how this can happen. This little story, this is very small, but very significant and revealing or insightful, that how Krishna helps us if we follow the instructions of our navigators seriously. And this happened right in this room here. A couple months ago, Bhaktin Christiana was leading kirtan. And when she was leading kirtan, her body showed how she was leading kirtan. She was screaming on top of her voice. And she was bending and screaming. And I was thinking, oh my God, this must be just like Shiva Sangam. That's what came to my mind. Because we hear that they would chant pretty loud. And they would chant so loud that the neighbors who were atheists would say, Shivas and his brothers, these Brahmins are so poor, they don't get anything to eat, and they're screaming on top of their voice, and now in the middle of the night, they're keeping us up because of their pangs of hunger. And that's how Bhaktin Christiana was screaming. And it was, I have to be honest, it was so, I started meditating on Shiva Sangam, and I followed her. And I really screamed too. And it felt so good. It felt really good. I don't know if you sometimes, Nagarajpur, when he leads kirtan, you can see he's like putting it all out there, you know. But then, amazing part was that after the kirtan was over, Mother Mukhya made the announcement, and she was making an announcement, and she said, it was Shivas Thakur's appearance day. And I couldn't believe that. I thought, wow, because of her screaming and chanting like that, I was meditating on Shiva Sangam. And I didn't even know it was Shivas Thakur's appearance day. Then I went in the pujari room to get my flowers to make the garlands, and I saw Bhaktin Christiana there, and I told her what happened. And then she said to me, oh, thank you for sharing that, because I was really praying to Shivas to please let me please you by my kirtan. And she said, so this is so encouraging for me. And then she said, I promised myself that I wasn't going to sing on top of my lungs. I promised. But you know what? I couldn't help it. And so I just had to. And I said, keep on doing, girl. I said, this is how Krishna will help us pass to this vast ocean, cross this vast ocean. Here she is. She is following the instructions of her spiritual masters to lead Guru Puja. She did that. And how then Krishna, through his favorable winds, you can almost see it's like winds. His winds like travel from her to my heart, from mine to hers, to understand, you know. So beautiful how Krishna arranges everything for our well-being. Govindas Kaviraj, he says in his beautiful song, Bhajahure Mana, Durlabha Manava Janama Satsange Tarahoye Bhava Sindhure Durlabha Manava Janama. Again, the word Durlabha. It's so difficult to have to attain this body, but satsanga, by the association of devotees, we can cross this ocean of material existence. Tarahoe bhava sindhure. This vast ocean can be crossed by the association of the devotees. So, dear devotees, do not think that person who is sitting next to you cannot help you. Every single person who is around us, you may not even know them. I mean, Bhakti and Christiana, I hardly ever talk to her. But yet, she helped me to remember Krishna's pastimes, and yet I was able to encourage her. I was the instrument to tell her that Shivas has accepted your beautiful kirtan. He is pleased with your kirtan. And so this way we can actually cross the ocean of material existence. Thank you very much for your kind attention. If you have any questions, please let me know. Questions? Reflections? Yes, Dharmaraj Prabhu. You want this mic here?
No. Good question. So my sister is taking class today, so please ask a question for me. Dear Maharaji, thank you for your wonderful class. And speaking from your heart, what is that? Is it Sulabha to be your brother?
Thank you, Varuna. Thank you for encouraging me.
Maybe you can repeat something here, or at least you can answer more than that.
I didn't get the question, to be honest. He said, is it Sulabham to be your brother?
Yeah, that's what it says. So, is it Sulabha to be your brother? I don't have to do anything, but it is sudurlabha to understand depth of your Krishna consciousness?
I don't know if this is a question, is it a comment? Well, yes, is it sulabham to be your brother? Yes, it's of course, it's, hey, we came in the same womb at the same time, I guess. It's sulabham, yes, that's right.
I guess what he's indicating, well, okay, he doesn't have to do anything, just does stick with you and he's in Krishna consciousness.
Well, this reminds me of Mother Narayani. One time she gave class. She's sitting right here in our midst here. And She gave a class and she said something about, oh, I wish she had the mic. Is that mic working? Because I would like her to tell exactly about what she said in class about joint account, her son.
I was chatting with my son on Facebook, and I told him, you should put something into your spiritual bank account. And he said, no, I'm not worried. I have a joint account with you.
Anyway, I think it really works. I mean, since Varuna is saying something, I think devotees do help each other so much. Sometimes, I remember one time somebody asked Sesha Prabhu, how does it work with the husband and wife, you know? And he said, well, sometimes I encourage her, she's encouraged by me, and sometimes I'm encouraged by her. It kind of goes, you encourage each other at different times. Somebody's doing better than the other, and sometimes the other one is doing better. And that's how it goes. And same with Varuna, or anybody for that matter, that we help each other in different ways. We are encouraged by one devotee, and then sometimes at different times the other devotee is helping us to move forward. So it's usually not like one person leading the other. It's a very dynamic journey that we help each other that way. Won't you say, Bhadra Prabhu? Sometimes Ananga is ahead of you and you're catching up with her, and sometimes she's catching up with you. Well, there are exceptions. I think you're right. She's always ahead of you. Yes, Sivir Kamprabhu, and then Pran Govinda Prabhu. Oh, sorry. Sorry, Mahamaya Prabhu.
So, Madhavati, this is the first time I've heard you give class. Is this the first class you've given? Or?
This is my second class here.
Second class. Okay, so it was so sweet, and it was like, this is something you've been doing forever. Of course, the questions you're always asking are obvious that you're qualified to give class. So I just wanted to know, why is
Thank
it
you.
You have gone through so many years of depriving us from giving your class? And in view of, there's other people in this room or maybe listening online who are also well qualified and they haven't yet agreed to give class.
Thank you very much. Thank you for adding that last sentence that is so important, that other devotees who are so much more qualified that should be giving class here. And as far as why I haven't given class, I think, well, first of all, let me respond to the class being that you felt encouraged. And anything what I have said is what I have heard over the years. And so it seems like I've heard everything right, that I was able to repeat it. Why it took me so long? I think we are nervous about things. If you're not encouraged to do it when you come newly to come to Krishna consciousness, then it makes it hard. And I would like to thank Kalkanta Prabhu, who really encouraged me to give class at Krishna House. And I have been giving now and then a few classes there. So that has encouraged me. And then I'd like to thank all the devotees who have encouraged me so many times to come and give class. So I'd like to offer my obeisances and thanks to them for encouraging me. So thank you, all of you. All of you have encouraged me so many times. So thank you. Hare Krishna. Yes, Siva Kamprabhu.
It's the first time I'm here. You're very nice. Lots of times I would ask kids in the community, you're chanting your rungs, or how much you're chanting? And most of the kids would say maybe one rung, two rungs. Sometimes I haven't chanted for a while. So even my own kids I ask, maybe they would say two wrongs, five wrongs, whatever. So I started to study. I said, when would these children actually come to the point of accepting a spiritual master? I mean, if they're just lagging like that, I mean, one wrong or whenever they, you know, I mean, we've stated that the spiritual master is so important in our life, but to come to that point of becoming initiated is fundamental. And within our own community, really, I mean, it's lacking so much. I'm wondering, I mean, can you show us something there?
I think all we can do is encourage and never to look down or make them feel that they're not doing the right thing. I think always to encourage. If they're chanting one round, then you tell them, oh, that is very good. Thank you for chanting one round. And rather than saying, how come you're not chanting two? No, always encourage them. Always encourage. Any little thing that they do, we encourage them. Maybe they're not chanting because maybe they feel discouraged. Maybe they're, you know, we all like to be encouraged. If somebody tells me, Madam T, how come you don't attend Mangal Arati? I can give reasons, but if somebody looks down on me for saying that, how come you don't attend Mangal Arati? That will not encourage me, you know. But if somebody encourages me, you know, you can do it, you know. Maybe if you get up at, you know, rather than 3:30, get up at 2:30, then you should be, you know, then you can, you know, chant your rounds, do the puja, come here. Maybe I could do it, but if somebody looks down on me, then it'd be very hard for me to do so. But if somebody encourages me, yes, I think. And we also have to give everybody their time. Yes, Pan Govinda Prabhu?
That's very nice way of taking. I also thought the very example. I mean, I have two sons and I see them. Because I am attracted to Krishna consciousness. They feel the effect. And they're very gentle and real interested in Krishna consciousness. So it is necessary to be exemplary and giving encouragement always, at every cost, because that will keep them going. And I see that in their life. My question was, because I'm overwhelmed with this verse. This verse is not something new. Like every time I see Dravida Prabhu for the last 30 years, we quote this verse. The importance of human birth, human birth, human birth. Prabhupada quoted that verse so many times. So I remember the 536, 11.536, the famous verse, Kali Sabha Jayanti Arja Gunagya Sarabhagina Jatra Sankirtana Sarva Sartata Vilabhati. Human birth is the only life that even demigods are actually praying to come to Alachua. Oh, I didn't say Alachua, but on this planet. That they want to come and take birth as a human.
Demigods. Everybody wants to come to Alachua, so I'm sure the demigods are also thinking to come.
Sure,
to
thank you. So, this is like such a rare opportunity, extremely rare opportunity. Then I just heard the day before yesterday, Prabhupada says, this is the only life, that human birth, that actually apply those verses like Janti Deva Pratana Devan. If you want to go anywhere, it's only from this planet, from human birth. No other part. That was like a very scary in a sense that if I miss the boat or if I'm not focused on the goal, I may get something and then I'll be in a trap for 8 million life again. If somebody deviates, this is automatically, there's nothing they can do. Exception is there, like Jadava Acharya. He was born as a human, but as a Mayavadi. And he was challenging to Ramanujacharya. And you know that story that when the king's daughter was hunted by a ghost and they tried to invite Ramanujacharya, they also invited Jadavacharya. And the ghost spoke to, you cannot purify me. He said, why not? He said, because your mantra has no power. You were a lizard last life. One Hare Krishna devotee was walking by, sprinkled little water, and you became human. And all of a sudden you... So like on 1973, Prabhupada, on a morning walk in L.A., the devotee asked that we are chanting on this road, what happened to the grass? Prabhupada said, they will get human birth. So devotee, as a Alachua devotee, I mean all over the world, the devotees are actually giving the human birth. By this modern Kali Yuga, nobody is coming as a human birth. It's only like devotees are making it happen. Mm-hmm. But if we miss that boat, it's like extremely sad.
Thank
extremely
you.
Depressed.
Thank you. Madan Mohan Guru.
Prabhupada Govinda's stimulated a remembrance of two verses from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Anchalila, chapter 3, 254 and 255. There is now a flood of eternal nectar of love of Godhead due to the incarnation of Lord Chaitanya. All living entities are floating in that flood. The entire world is now thankful to the Lord. The next verse says, anyone who does not float in this inundation is most condemned. Such a person cannot be delivered from millions of kalpas.
Wow.
Now, how long a kalpa is? That's explained in the purport. Long time.
That's pretty intense.
Yeah. A yuga, maha yuga.
Mathura. Mathura and then Dharmaraj.
I was inspired by Swami Prabhupada said in a lecture I was listening to yesterday, said this conception of family is actually that we have here in this earth planet is from Krishna's family. We actually belong to Krishna's family. And he said that if we're just thinking that we should, I want to exist in my own little family here, he said it's very entangling. But he said if we are thinking I want to belong to Krishna's family, then this will help us very much. So I appreciate what you're saying by thinking of all the devotees around here like family.
Thank you.
How can we do that more, as I guess is my question, is how can we relate to each other more as family? Because a lot of time we see each other and we're not relating in that way. We could maybe do better.
Yes, we could do better sometimes because of lack of time, but as I was mentioning about Bhakti and Christiana, we weren't really relating to each other, but yes, she was just chanting kirtan, and I was relating with her without me externally relating to her. So sometimes it's amazing that we can relate with each other through our heart. I mean, there are so many certain devotees that come here every day, at least, you know, like during class time when I'm here. We may not talk, but yet you feel like you have a relationship with them. Because you see them every day, you really feel you have a relationship. So sometimes it may not be through conversation, but just the vibes. There is such thing as vibes, you know. We are in each other's vibes, and the more we pray ourselves, then we have good vibes and people are affected and we are affected by others. So sometimes it's like that, but otherwise, yes, we should take more time to even discuss things. This is a good time. We're sitting down, you're expressing things, you're questioning. Every day we sit here, we hear and express our thoughts, our reflections, our realizations, our questions. So this is I find that's one thing that I'd really love to do is to just attend class with all the Vaishnavas here and present in the room. And to be, when you do that, you just, I find that I'm relating with them. At least that's one way. Other ways have to be done too, like you're saying. Okay, last question, Dharma.
Going back to Grand Prabhu's question, I remember the conversation I had in the 1980s with Nitai Chand Maharaj at the time. We were talking about a similar topic in terms of your surrounding other devotees. And one thing he mentioned, he said that there is one thing to you yourself, chant your rounds, follow nicely. That's one thing. Another thing is to how do you do that so you encourage others around you, whether it's your siblings or your other associates or devotees around you? So it indicates that, you know, that there's an art of not only you yourself, you know, follow your standard, but act in such a way so that you can encourage others around you.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Okay, one last thing, Namamrita Prabhu. I cannot say no to him.
Just four more minutes. I just wanted to take the opportunity to thank you and express my appreciation for you over the years. You've been a true mother to me, as I know you've been to many other devotees in the community. And just like Prabhu was saying, you always have the perfect words to encourage others. Like yesterday, I was sharing with you how I have a hard time connecting with my practice, and sometimes I feel discouraged because it becomes mechanical, and because I'm not feeling that spiritual bliss all the time, I don't know if I should keep doing it. And you said that, let me just do my practice with faith, and Krishna, please, you take care of my heart. And that was so helpful to understand that I don't need to worry so much about if I'm not feeling it or I'm not feeling spiritually advanced, but if I continue my practice with faith and let Krishna take care of my heart, it'll happen. So thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you, everybody. Jai Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.